go. The John Curley, Sherry Ellinger Show. Starring Spike O'Neill sitting in for Sherry. All right, here we go. Let's dive in. The news got lots to get to. Get going. By the way, Jacob, I sent you that picture of Dougie with his new bike. Doesn't he look like a little happy little kid?
Huh? Like a kid on Christmas. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. He kept saying to me, when we get one of those electric bikes, we're going to get in shape. So he kept saying it and saying it, and then finally, ah, screw it. So I went home, and I bought him a bike. He came over. But he's the kind of guy, Spike, who doesn't like to express any emotions other than, like, cursing at tools that don't work.
Okay, yeah. I know the type.
Okay. So I've pushed him emotionally to places he's like, I got the bike. I go, what do you think? Huh? How about that? Happy birthday. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you're cracking that shell, buddy. Nice.
Try it. Friend of mine's like, I'm going to hug him. I was like, don't hug him.
You got a bike,
I'm
John?
Hug him.
You got a bike?
I'm hug him. What's that?
You got a bike?
I got a bike, yeah.
Show up out front, man. Take him for a run. Go with him.
Oh, well, we are. We're going up into the power lines. That's
nice,
the plan this weekend.
Good answer.
All right, Russell Wilson's coming back to town. That's the big. It's the first game. Man, this how smart is the NFL on this one, right? So this is going to be the first game. This is a Monday Night Football game. Russell Wilson comes back. Seahawks play the Broncos, and it's going to be quite exciting. Seattle is a very forgiving, loving fan base. And I'm sure he'll probably, what do you think, standing ovation or at least be going nuts when they announce him as he runs out onto the field?
I'll be there. I'll give him one. I will.
Yeah,
and he's earned it. He's absolutely earned it. The highlight of my football fan life has got to be Super Bowl 48, and he was right there. And you can say it was an LOB got the win, and anybody, Trent Dilfer could have taken that team to a win. Uh-huh. But he did it. You know, he didn't pass at the one, ever. During Super Bowl 48. And I appreciate everything he did for this town. And I think he's got another Super Bowl in front of him. I think the best of his career may be ahead of him. But not here.
Wow.
Not here.
Yeah.
No, and you called it earlier, man. You there's a cycle. You can't it's hard to win with a veteran quarterback. It's hard to have the money to build a contending team unless you're taking advantage of a rookie quarterback contract.
Yes, you find the diamond in the rough, as they did with Russell Wilson. They get him in there. And
Mahomes
then,
did it. You bet. And right. unless you're a Brady who has a superstar mega model wife and you can afford to take pay cuts your entire pro career, that's a tough formula to thread, man.
I never understood. Here you have this franchise guy, and you understand what he can do for you. Spend some money on the offensive line. I know he would run around back there like he's playing backyard football.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's now 30 yards back and then just throw the ball downfield somewhere or make enough people miss. And then, but like, why wouldn't you protect him more? As years caught up to Russell Wilson 2 years ago, he had obviously wasn't playing at the same level. He had hurt his ankle or something.
Right.
But still, a guy always gave 100%. You never felt like he was dogging it. You never felt like he wasn't trying. He's a competitor's competitor, you know, and I think, when he steps out on that field on that Monday night game, it's going to be electric in that. Because he doesn't leave with leaving any bad taste in his mouth. You know, even Richard Sherman sort of, right? And then Earl Thomas being taken off the field and flipping
finger,
the management off.
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't believe I saw that. I could not believe I saw that. It's not like they didn't try to help him on the offensive line. They just can't pick offensive line talent. As a drafting organization, they talk about some bombs. They drafted some guys that were just abysmal. You know, I mean, I think what started when Hutch got poached, right, when they had the escalator clause and the Vikings outbid us trying to franchise tag, and they ended up changing the NFL rules after that particular situation. Mm-hmm. We haven't had a solid offensive line since then. I mean, you got lucky in our Super Bowl year. You know, guys like Giacomini and big guys. You know, Max Unger was a tough thing to lose, letting him go.
That was probably
the crack that broke the dam. That ended it all for us.
And it was a Sweezy guy used to jump off sides all the time.
Yep. And we've had a plethora of just ugh.
Oh, I know. And you just and then you could start to see it catch up on Russell. That all of a sudden the guy came out of nowhere in between the three hole and the four hole or whatever, and rush right in there and catch him off guard.
And you play the Rams twice a year, and you got Donald peeing off on him, and so, you know the beast they have in the NFC West.
I got great Schadenfreude and a little bit of a good feeling back. I did an auction on Friday in Sonoma, and one of the bidders on the phone via proxy was the owner of the San Francisco 49ers, and there were seven lots that he wanted, and I was pushing so hard for this other guy who's right down front bidding against the phone in the back, and I knew which phone was the San Francisco 49ers owner. And I'm just pounding this guy down front to go another. And normally you do 1,000, 15, 2,000, 25. You're going up in $500 hops. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to just grind this guy out.
Yeah.
So I went up at $100 and then back to the guy that owns the 49ers to 100 and then back to the guy in the front. The guy in the front's like, let me off the hook. Like, just let it go. But I just kept going and going.
Nice.
Back to Glenn and then back to the guy in the back. San Francisco 49ers are back down and back and back and back. I think he paid a pretty penny, but, you know, he could have dropped off at any time. But it was fun to know that he was the one on the phone that wanted one or two of these really interesting lots of wine. But
we need more fans like you. We need more fans that'll bend a competitive owner over. You know, and keep that guy from making a free agent
pick.
Get
that guy out there.
Yeah, get him. Take him. We need more people like you.
Where is the buy, by the way? That's always the thing that people look for.
So. After the trip to Berlin.
Oh.
They play the international game this year against Tom Brady and the Bucks. Mr. Mm-hmm. I can't retire. Mr. I met my kids. You know, 3 weeks with his kids. He's like, I got some football left in me.
When Elton John announced that I'm going to spend more time with my kids, but first I'm going to do a 4-year around the world goodbye tour. Come back and like, who are you? I'm your child. Don't you remember me?
So goodbye. I'm never going home.
By the way, so that trip to Germany and the buy comes in. They always say it's important to have that buy come in at the second half of the season. Is that where that will be?
I believe it's just past the turn. Yeah, I think it's week 9, week 10, something like that.
That's important. Yes. Well, I asked Rye, my son, who absolutely adores all sports and comes on regularly. He said he expects 4 to 5 wins, and that's about it for the Seahawks. Would you agree with my 19-year-old son?
Well, you're a tough parent. You raised a realist. I got to say it. I depending upon what they get, there's no way to know what they're going to get at quarterback. I mean, they're putting all their eggs in a basket that's full of cracked eggs. I mean, everybody they've got an option on has failed somewhere.
Right.
You know, they don't even have the promise of a guy that we don't know about yet. We know about all these. They're all broken heroes, every one of them. You know, I believe Pete when he says that Drew Lock would have been the number one quarterback taken in this draft. But that says what a crap quarterback draft this was. I mean, because he had 3 years in Denver and didn't do much of nothing. No disrespect. He's doing stuff I could never even dream of doing.
Right.
But they're all flawed. So I think 4 or 5 might be a really realistic pick.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
and it depends on what kind of defense they find. You know, what kind of guys they find.
Right. Right. Can you stop them? Right.
Yeah.
The whole thing. If you put. Well, I coached 6, 7, and 8-year-olds, and we decided our theory was we were going to draft and coach only for defense because we said if we can hold the other team to just 7, then we only need
to
get 2 more touchdowns. It doesn't matter. We don't need a giant offensive powerhouse.
How many times do we go down a field to score and watch somebody just boat race us down a field to take the lead back? I mean, like I said, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. You know, no disrespect to Trent Dilfer. I've met him. He's a great guy. But that Ravens defense won their Super Bowls. Ray Lewis won their Super Bowls.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Hold the other team to 7.
LOB won our Super Bowls. Yeah. I mean,
there you go.
That was the NFL's all-time leading offense. No offense in NFL history had scored more than that Denver Broncos team of that year. And they were embarrassed in New York as an offensive unit. That defense, they were embarrassed. And it happened when Cam hit, who was it?
Right off the top and broke his shoulder?
Yes, separated his shoulder. I mean, first series, bye. Oh,
again, that was thanks, the game Russell. That my son watched in a box, Spike. He had come home on Thursday, and I said, how are you feeling about the game? And he's like 7 or 8. He said, Dad, I need to watch that game in a box. And I said, in a box? Yeah, I guess have to be able to concentrate.
Oh my God, I love
and watch
this kid.
It in a box. And I said, okay. So on Friday, I went to over to that the little home of the Whammer deals.
Oh, the Whammer. Right?
King and Bunny.
King and Bunny.
Went to King and Bunny. Went to my friend. I said, I need a box for my kid to watch the Super Bowl. And they're like, okay. And then when Rye came home on Friday, I said, Rye, I got you a box to watch the Super Bowl. And he said to me, Dad, I was talking about a metaphorical box, real box. But then he sat in the box. I sent Jacob a picture of it, and he watched the game from the box. And after that first hit, and then, of course, the safety, and then all of a sudden all the pressure was off, and what an amazing experience.
Oh, my gosh.
That type of thing. Listen, we've got the memories of it. I don't think this will be the year, but then you start to appreciate
A lot of cities never, ever, ever feel that. A lot of NFL fans never have a victory parade. So, you know, great. I got to do it, man. Happy as clam. I'll cheer for Russ, standing ovation. And then every time he steps on the field after the game starts, I'm going to be yelling like I've never yelled before. The 12s. I mean, you know, I want him to experience from the other side of the fence what that place is all about. He's never felt it.
Let me ask you this, since we're just going to talk sports here for a minute. So I grew up in Philadelphia, and I know how fans boo. The Eagles go pick up 6 yards, Wilbert Montgomery on the carry. Right. And then their fumble right there, Jaworski fumbles and then falls on the ball. And we're 3 minutes into the game, and now boo's raining down onto the field. I mean, it was hot, you know, hot, cold, hot, cold. I remember a couple times sitting there watching the Seahawks, and you look up on the board, and we have minus 11 yards on rushing, and people are not booing. And I turned to Rye. I said, if this was Philadelphia, people would be in their cars, driving their cars down onto the field, trying to run down as many players as they could. I was amazed it takes so long for a Seattle fan to boo the Seahawks.
Yeah, it's tough. And you mispronounced Eagles, by the way.
Darren, Philly. Eagles.
Eagles. I was born in Baltimore, so I totally get that hate mentality of the East Coast, but I don't think that transfers to the West Coast. I really don't. I think this is such a much more provincial, welcoming, you know, community. The vitriol of an East Coast mentality, whether it's New York, Boston, Philly, DC, you know, they will cut you in the parking lot.
But weren't you sometimes surprised being in that stadium and they're not booing the Seahawks?
Oh yes, absolutely, absolutely. When Russell's back there running for his life and just getting his clock cleaned, you bet.
Right,
first three down, and out, third down, three and out,
three and out, three and out, three and out.
Yep.
And you look up, we've got 4 minutes left in the first half, and again we have 6 yards rushing, and you realize we suck. And then all of a sudden, it takes just a couple of people just to boo a couple of times. Then all of a sudden, things begin to change a little bit. Getting on to the other news that Elon Musk, some people are saying this is nothing more than a negotiating tactic. He said, right now, the offer that I've made of 40-some billion dollars is on hold. I'm going to wait. I have to check and see. There's a lot of empty tweets out there. I want to take a look at these numbers. How many of these are generated by bots? What's the real number? What do you really have as far as users are concerned? So he's going to wait. Now, if he does scotch this deal, he will owe them a couple of billion dollars because you can't make this offer. It's almost like earnest money on a house.
Right.
You can't do that, hold it in there, and then walk away. He'll have to pay. There's examples of other businesses that, you know, went in to make the offer and then pulled out, and they whack him pretty hard. So I don't think he wants to walk away from this deal. He might just be looking at those numbers or using this as a way of saying, hold on a second, now they get a better look. Think of it like you're going to buy a house. You can do an inspection.
Yeah.
Hey, now look at those pipes. Things look a little bad. It gives you a chance to maybe come back and have a little leverage and hit Twitter maybe with a different offer.
Well, that's the house inspection's the perfect analogy. I mean, it's a big wad of change, and you want to look under the foundation. You want to see how many are fake bots, how many are robots, how many are BS accounts.
Yeah.
But this is a business. This is a commerce moving machine. It's a political moving machine. I mean, Twitter is, you know, it's enrooted into every aspect of our lives, and it's got value, obviously, for that reason. But you want to make sure you put the right, good for him from doing the due diligence to make sure he's putting the right value on it.
Yeah. By the way, he did, people at Twitter were like, said, why didn't you, talk to us first before you tweeted that out about putting this on hold. And then he did on a followed up on a second tweet, basically trying to smooth things.
Well, but I'm all still in. I'm all still
yeah,
in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm all still in. I'm still taking it to prom.
Are you on Twitter?
I'm not. I have an account, but it's Herman Munster posts more often than I do. I'm such a dinosaur, dude. I know. I got to step up.
Nikki, are you on there?
Of course. I tweet you all the time.
And I wonder why I can't get hired in my late 50s. Come on.
Jacob can attest that I tweet you all the time.
Jacob, is that true?
Yes, I get the notifications.
See? Okay. Anyway.
I'm going to say this, and this is going to sound so bad. What do you mean you tweet me all the time?
You should have seen what that did today. Right?
Hey, all righty, everybody. Back to your seats. Don't forget to write to us at mynorthwest.com. What did he chance to be letter of the day? Teeny chosen by the teeny tiny lady in that pickle jar. If you write to us, you can also text as well. 888-778-K. Oh, that's Keel Mortgage. Yeah. Text Keel. Tell them how much you're enjoying the show.
Hi, Laura.
973-5476. Why do I keep doing that, Jacob? What is wrong with
you? You know, the numbers, the numbers are similar.
Well, I don't know what it is.
Well, you're a true believer. That's why. You're
I am a
true
believer.
Keel.
Yeah. Right. Poor Keel Mortgage is like, what? Huh? What are they complaining about? The Seahawks offensive line? Let's see. The graduation season is here, and apparently caps and gowns are not. Wall Street Journal reports that I guess it's a supply chain problem. To me, I would like to see the caps go away. There's no way of wearing that cap where you don't look dumb. It's the weirdest thing. You spend 4 years trying to gain knowledge, and then you put that thing on, and it's that weird sort of thing, and then it's on a strange angle, and it has this sort of a Herman Eddie Munster thing in the front, and then no matter how you wear the thing on top, the board,
the mortarboard,
the mortarboard, right, and then the whole thing of like changing the tassel from one side to the other, and I don't know, and you have to, I guess you rent all that, so yeah, you don't keep any of it.
No.
Get the tassel, you've got that hanging from your rear view mirror.
You buy it. We just bought one. My daughter graduates this spring. You had to buy.
What did she buy? Bought the whole kit, the cape and everything.
The cap, gown, sash, tassel. Yeah.
Did you wear a cape to yours? What's the cape?
Cap and gown.
I mean, whatever it was. But I thought you rented all that stuff.
No, I wish. I still got mine from my older daughter's graduation from Bishop Blanchette back in 2007. Still got that green thing hanging in the closet like the ugliest bridesmaid gown you ever saw. You keep them
what
forever.
What do they charge you for that?
I want to say somewhere in the areas of 70, 75 bucks for the whole package.
Well, apparently some of these kids are not going to be able to have them.
I guess
they'll have them wear something else in return. God, I thought you just rented them. But
so I can get breast milk on a Facebook exchange and maybe forward my cap and get my daughter's cap and gown to somebody else in class.
Put
who
that
get
up
one.
There. Yeah.
Cap and gown exchange.
And then you get a chance to go to the graduation and then listen to somebody giving in a graduation speech. Did you get this one, Jacob? Is this the person that's had a problem? Which one is this?
Yeah, that's one at the top where she complains about the staff at her school.
Oh, God.
To my counselor, thanks for teaching me to fend for myself. You were always unavailable to my parents and I, despite appointments. Only in these past few weeks, with the award ceremonies and graduation coming up, did you begin making your appearance? And might I note, you expressed to me your joy in knowing that one of your students was valedictorian when you had absolutely no role in my achievements. To the staff in the main office, thank you for teaching me how to be resourceful. Your negligence to inform me of several scholarships until the day before they were due potentially caused me to miss out on thousands of dollars. When applying for a work permit,
no, she's not done.
You repeatedly turned me away, despite confirming with my employer and parents that all my paperwork was filled correctly. I've had to escalate issues with staff to an assistant principal various times to reach any sort of solution. To the teacher who was regularly intoxicated during class this year, thank you for using yourself as an example to teach students about the dangers of alcoholism. Being escorted by police out of school left a lasting impression. I hope that future students and staff learn from these examples.
Holy
This girl's going to go on to be yelping about the lasagna at Olive Garden.
Queen of the one-star review.
It was, she just, it was like 7 or 10 minutes of her just ripping the entire school.
I thought that was a steel band playing her off halfway through it.
I don't know why someone put that into the video.
That was great, man. Okay, time to go.
But you think that one's bad? You're coming in at number two. This is an abortion talk.
Today I was going to talk about TV and media and content because it's something that's very important to me. However, under light of recent events, it feels wrong to talk about anything but what is currently affecting me and millions of other women in the state. Recently, the heartbeat bill was passed in Texas. Starting in September, there will be a ban on abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy, regardless of whether the pregnancy was a result of rape or incest. 6 weeks. That's all women get. And so before they realize, most of them don't realize that they're pregnant by 6 weeks. So before they have a chance to decide if they are emotionally, physically, and financially stable enough to carry out a full-term pregnancy, before they have the chance to decide if they can take on the responsibility of bringing another human being into the world, that decision is made for them by a stranger. A decision that will...
A lot of people looking at their feet right now while that speech is going on. And then here's your third choice. So you've got angry woman having a problem with the entire school. Valedictorian talking about only 6 weeks for the abortion. Or we can go to... has the mic cut before coming out as gay.
After I came out as queer freshman year, I felt so alone. I didn't know who to turn to for support.
Oh.
Yes! Yes!
As I was saying.
Whoa.
Wow.
The thing is that the faculty or whatever looks at your speech ahead of time, and I assume, okay, that's okay. And then the kids get up and they think, well, they get a chance to give the speech. They do a completely different speech or they add stuff that was not approved. You're basically up there. You're chosen. It's an honor to be, I guess, be the speaker. And then you sort of do the old switcheroo. The National Review says, you know, don't make these speeches about yourself.
Whew.
It seems like all those kids broke every one of those laws.
Every one of those laws, yeah, you know. But I don't know who I think less of. The kid decided to just, you know, grab the moment, or the staff that had the lack of, you know, spine, I want to say, to let the kid even finish their thought. I mean, they, first off, all those kids, maybe not the first one, but the other two, they were, if nothing else, they were brave. You could hear the shaking in their voices. They were scared. Both the second and third kids were scared to do, and they knew they were breaking the rules. Like you said, their speeches are vetted. Then they come up and make a political speech or a personal, you know, admission speech. And I think they're thinking about something bigger than themselves. That first kid was just, I mean, their parents are like, oh, we raised such an a-hole. They're so proud of the stands.
But wait. It's bravery?
Yeah, it is. It may be ill-advised. It may be poorly thought out. It may be the wrong thing to do. But you got to admit, those kids knew what they were getting into and jumped up and did it anyway. I think it's bravery. Mm-hmm. Maybe stupid, but bravery. Maybe wrong. Maybe inappropriate. I'll give you that. But you got to admit it's brave.
I would say I would use the word selfish, especially to describe the second girl and even the first kid. I don't get a chance to listen to third. But what about your fellow classmates who you're speaking for that might be pro-life?
You're right. I'm not saying it was the right thing to do. You're right. It was clearly selfish. Clearly. I give you that. But they were scared, and they did it. Got something to that, man.
There's for that.
I hear you, bud, man.
No, all that high school stuff, just a blur. I kept thinking, you know what? I know I don't deserve it, but I think they're going to have a prize for me. I really thought, and finally,
they know,
although
right?
He really wasn't much of a student, we have the, you know, whatever.
Just for making this a better place to be. Like, they got to know how special I am, right? They know.
Right.
They
Jacob, know. What did I, what was the only reason I was honored?
Well, for having the longest name, was that?
That's right.
Okay.
What?
I made up a bunch of extra names, oh, and I made sure that they, when they read my name out, it would be they would have the most amount of names. They had to change the font on the to plumb to fit them all on there.
That's my man. Good for
you. My father turned to me and goes, "Who the hell is that?" I was like, "That's me, Dad."
I skipped mine. I was at the beach.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, I was. I was sitting on the beach. Wonder if they're doing it yet. You think they're doing what time is it? You think they're doing it yet? I ain't worried. I didn't care.
Had you been smoking the marijuana?
What time is it that they? Yeah, already that day. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, fine. And then look where you are now, right? This just goes to show you.
Unemployed.
It'd be a lesson to you kids. There's your speech. Let me get to that mailman song. Come on, mailman. What do you got for us? Lay it down. Lay it down. Funky beat. There's that funky beat. You know it. You know it.
I'm the mailman.
Play the radio.
Play the radio. Don't nobody mess with me.
Play it.
I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
All right. Spike doesn't know. The teeny tiny lady, the pickle jar. She's got the letter of the day, but let's first take care of all the rest. Here we go. This means you go first, Spike. No, they're all, oh, look at it, all love letters for you.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we love Spike.
OMG, Spike. I haven't heard of him since Bob. That's the story of my life right there, man. I was daily listeners, much as I have been on Cairo Nights. I'm so happy to hear him. Thanks very much. That's very kind for the 914. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tom in Edmonds says, oh my gosh, Friday the 13th is now my lucky day. My two favorite radio show hosts on all the time and on the air together, John Curley and Spike O'Neill, with lots of exclamation points. Isn't that lovely?
That's awful kind, mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, John, have Spike sing a twisted tune. Well, I'm glad we didn't have time for that one. Okay, moving on.
But Trevor, 206, says, a bearded Friday, Sherry rocks. What does that one mean? God.
I think they're trying to play on the fact that if Sherry was in this chair, she'd be much more attractive and have at least a clean shave.
Mm. Definitely. Brad the Painter, I worked on a recording project with Spike back in the 90s, a regular instructional CD-ROM.
And I remember that.
Even then, he credited his wife for all his success, a very cool thing to do.
I remember that. We did an instructional DVD or CD-ROM. How to play guitars. And I think I was a cheap way to not have to pay royalties when we did like a cover of a song. He'd play it and I'd sing the, in the style of the artist we were doing. Didn't have to
was
pay
it all power. Was it all power chords?
A bunch of different stuff. Some Petty, some Eagles, some Heavy, some Zeppelin, some, AC/DC.
Nice. Yeah. Wow. Spike filling in, continuing Unicycle Mike. We're talking about drinking already. I thought we had to wait till 5 o'clock to crack of the Rolling Rocks. Guess I've got some catching up to do. Yes, you do, Unicycle Mike.
From area code 360, by hour 4, the Irish accent's going to be really thick. Oh, forget about it.
It's talking about Scott Van Pelt and the saying goodbye to his dog. Stan says, oh my God, John, I'm crying. And Donna in the 360 says, John, so touching.
Yeah, a lot of that came in. Dang it, John, we are days away from the final vet trip to the vet.
Uh-oh.
Possibly both at the same time. Of all the dogs we've owned over the years, these are our least favorite, worst-behaved dogs. Yet the decision never gets any easier. Even the ones you don't love.
Taking shots at them all the way to the end. 206, we're in puddles here. Sincerely, though, thank you for bringing this topic up of losing a dog.
Yeah. The same thing. You guys think it's hard during doing a radio show after that story? Try driving a semi-truck. I almost had to pull over to the shoulder.
Mickey would have been talking about you. Baby formula, 206. What the heck did everyone do before baby formula?
Yeah.
I know the answer to that.
Yep.
You do, too.
I've seen some National Geographics. Yes, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. This one, they're sending all the baby formula to Ukraine. Well, that's not exactly the case, but
shortage of baby formula. It sounds like a good time for Cows for Kids fundraiser song.
1-877 Cows for Kids. KOWS Cows for Kids. Go milk your cow today.
You're going to hear from the Cars for Kids.
I know. I know.
Let me tell you right
now. They're monsters too, man.
By the way, Cars for Kids people, had nothing to do with what just happened there.
Especially that one kid with the black bow tie and pink suspenders. I fear him every time he comes on.
That's a really long one. How about this one? 360, my parents made sure the kids were challenged. They they ditched me in Disneyland as a 5-year-old, but I found them.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow.
That's how it works. That's how you know it.
Wow. Shades of WKRP in Cincinnati and the great Thanksgiving Live turkey debacle. Is that what's saying? How bad the show was? You guys sound like Les Nessman reporting that advertising stunt. Talking about the buried treasure story up in Nova Scotia. Yeah.
Taco Bell 260206 says the grilled stuffed nachos were great. Much respect for the dude to sticking it to Taco Bell. All right. Teeny tiny. She anywhere around? Here's the president with some advice.
If you want to protect yourself, get a double barrel shotgun.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Wow. Look, it's a long one. It's up to you to read that one.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, my. From Keith, the gill collector. The gill? Is that, did he misspell Bill? Or he collects gill? He's a fisherman. He's a gill collector. I get it. That's a good joke, Keith. Knock it off, John. You're the only radio personality or television host whose words alone have ever brought me to tears. And you, mister, have accomplished that feat multiple times. It's usually while you're reminiscing about your father, but today it wasn't even your dog he brought up. Every single time that I have ever heard you choked up, I know that my own tears will soon be following. For being such an ultra-masculine, hardcore, conservative, manly man's man, I strongly believe that we all would be hard-pressed to find anyone who loves as deeply and possesses a heart as big as your own. Yeah, man.
Wow.
And although half the time I'd like to reach right through the speakers in my truck and smack the bleep out of you, every single one of us who reside within your station's signal are extremely fortunate to have the opportunity to hear your personal stories on those same airwaves. Thank you, John. Again, from Keith, the Gill Collector. Touche.
Wow.
Well to echo, Keith. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. Yep. And how about a little something coming back to you? Spike and the Impalers, thank you very much. Spike.
Got a busy summer schedule. Check it out. Spike and the Impalers Facebook page. Thank you very much. My drummer, Jeff, said to say hi to you, John. He's a huge fan. He's down in Cabo collecting new goat uterus drum, snare drum skins. He gets them out of state and sneaks them back in. We're finally getting back on the road this summer after a lot of canceled COVID shows, so that feels great.
And again, how do people find you?
Spike and the Impalers Facebook page is the most up-to-date, adding shows as we go.
Got it. Or here on Cairo Radio.
I would love it. This has been an absolute pleasure. To Sherry, thank you so much for trusting me with your chair. I hope every one of your friends finds true love and you are invited to every wedding the entire summer has to offer.
That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
Didn't write no more.
All right, we're going to act like we're doing the show over again. We're going to go, like, we're going to repeat everything we said from 3 to 4. Spike, appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure, my friend. Great job.